Please turn your Bibles to two passages of scriptures this morning. Proverbs chapter 25:19. Also 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 58. As we continue this morning in a series of messages on a devoted life, this morning we're looking at one of the main reasons why we should live a devoted life, and that is Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. I tell you, it's amazing how things can change just in a day or overnight. How world governments and leaders can change. You know, we have a congresswoman that was shot in the head, thought was dead by the news. She's doing very well today. You know, things are dying, birds and fish and Gog and Magog is in great power, Russia, and those countries, Islamic countries. Israel is the center. You turn on the news, who they mention mostly? The nation of Israel. I do not know when Jesus is coming back, but I do know He is coming back. I believe He could come back today. The New Testament church thought that He could come back in their lifetime. And they live a devoted life, and that's how we ought to live, a devoted life in light of His return. Please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Proverbs 25:19 is the theme verse for this series of messages on a devoted life. And this proverb says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Both of them are bad. Both are bad. And we preached a message on just that proverb a few Sundays ago. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your precious Word, and we thank You for the hope that we have in You. We thank You for the victory that we have in You, Lord Jesus. Lord, as Your people, we ask for help. Help us, Lord, to be devoted. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be people that You can count on. And Lord, people that our lost neighbors and family and friends can count on to live a life before them and to count on for us to be a mouthpiece for You as a witness. Because without You, Jesus, there's no hope. No hope. And we have You, hope. Lord, as we look in this great passage of Scripture this morning, please speak through me. May the church be fed and may the church be edified and may You be glorified in it all. Because if none of that happens, we're wasting our time. So God, we look to You in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. In the light of the return of Christ Jesus our Lord, we are to live a devoted life. And first of all, living this devoted life in light of the return of Christ Jesus, number one, we need to realize He is coming back. Jesus fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies and the things that He said while during His earthly ministry, all the miracles and the teachings that He taught with authority and the miracles, all the things that He fulfilled. And went before He left, He said, I will come back. I will come back. And He spoke of His return. And the two angels, when He ascended on high in Acts chapter 1, said that He is going to come back in like manner. So He is coming back. And we need to realize that Jesus is coming back. Even when we observe the Lord's Supper, it's in light of that we worship Him by faith of His returning to set all things right. He is coming back. And in light of the realization of His return, we ought to live a devoted life, a faithful life unto Him, because He is Lord. He is Master of all. He's the Master of our lives, and we are to live devoted to Him as our Master of all. And in light of His return, number two, we need to make sure that you're in the boat, that we're on the boat. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, it says, therefore, in light of what was just said in chapter 15, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren. In other words, he's talking to saved people. He's talking to born-again people. He says, my beloved brethren. We had a governor here in the United States just this last week in a speech. He was a new governor, and he's a Christian man. He said that, you're my brother and sister if you know Christ. Well, he had to crawfish when the news media got a hold of that. And as a governor, yes, he's the leader of all the people of that state. That's correct. And we are all God's people. We're created in His image, but we all have sinned. And unless we are in Jesus Christ, is the only way that we can be restored back, and we are restored into the image of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're in Jesus Christ, you are my brother and you are my sister. We are part of God's family, and I will not crawfish from that. And I wished and hoped that all people were like me and you in Jesus Christ. Yes, brethren, we are part of God's family. By being in Christ Jesus, we're joint heirs in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, God don't even call you by name. He calls His sheep by name, it says. So make sure you're in the boat in light of His return. Make sure. And as your pastor, I do not want to cause you to doubt your salvation. As your pastor, you need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And to really be able to grow in the faith, you cannot do it by constantly doubting whether or not you're saved. You can't do it. I know I'm saved. I know I'm in Christ Jesus. And as your pastor, I want to encourage you to grow in the faith. But you know what? As a preacher of God's Word, there's the evangelist side of it. The evangelist side says, Jesus said that there is a straight and narrow way. There are many who go the broad way, and few will enter in the straight gate. Jesus also said on the Sermon on the Mount that there will be many call me Lord, Lord, did we not do this and do that? And Jesus will have to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You're not part of my family. Never knew you. So the Word of God says that there's many who think they're okay, but they're not. There's few that's going to enter in the straight gate. And that straight gate is a faith relationship in Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other gates. There's no other ways. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. There's a broad way that many will go. But make sure you are in the boat, because Jesus said in before He comes back, it's going to be like in the days of Noah. And during the days of Noah, it was wickedness and people carried on like nothing to it. Everything's okay. I'm okay. You're okay. Look at that crazy man building a boat. It's never rained on earth before. Look how crazy he is. But Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith, Noah worked. And Noah got his family in the boat. Because he was a man of faith. So get you and your family in the boat. Be in Christ Jesus. Be in Christ. So make sure you're in the boat. Thirdly, be steadfast. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Same characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in the scriptures that he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He set his face like a flint that he was going to Jerusalem to die on a cross for you and I. And he was steadfast. And we are to be steadfast in our devotion to him. This word steadfast means to be fixed in direction. A steadfast gaze like Jesus had when he went to Jerusalem. Also, this word means to be firm in purpose and resolution. You see, our purpose as born-again believers, we are to glorify God in how we live. In other words, live a godly life. Bring Him glory and have this purpose in your life to bring God glory. Thirdly, this word means unwavering. In other words, the opposite of steadfast is to be like James said, to be like the waves of the ocean being tossed to and fro and doubting back and forth. But we are to be steadfast, unwavering. Also, it means to be firmly established, firmly fixed in a place or position. In other words, for you and I to be steadfast, we are to be fixed, firmly rooted, firmly grounded in a place of our convictions and our faith and in our doctrine, knowing what we believe about Jesus, knowing that we have a relationship with Him, and we're unmovable, we're steadfast in our faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing, no whim of doctrine of man and nothing happening in this world can move us from our faith in Jesus. That's steadfastness. Also it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, the next word it says, immovable. Be immovable. In light of His return, in our devotion, it needs to be immovable. It means not to be moved from a place. Firmly persistent. Are you persistent in your walk with Christ? I don't mean for you to be perfect and without sin. None of us are. But are we persistent in our walk and that we're striving to be holy, that when we sin and we're convicted by the Holy Spirit? By the way, if you have a relationship with Jesus and you do sin, then you should be under conviction. If you're not, means the Holy Spirit is not in you. If you can live in sin and not be convicted, there's something wrong. But we are to live a holy life and confess and repent, turn from our sin, and strive to be closer to Jesus Christ. It means to be immovable, to be persistent. You know what this word means? And I'm a Southern Baptist, born and bred, Southern Baptist. Southern Baptists should not have a problem with this word. You know what it literally means? It means to be stubborn. Some of y'all shouldn't have any problem. Some of y'all are stubborn, if not all of you. That's why we went to war in the Civil War. We didn't want to be told what to do. We're stubborn. Some of us are stubborn more than others, Brother Dan. I could name a few others, but I don't do that from the pulpit, no. Stubborn. That's what it means. We shouldn't have a problem with that. Some of y'all are thinking, yeah, preacher, look at you. Stubborn? What does it mean to be stubborn for Christ? To be immovable for Christ? To be bullheaded for Christ? What does that mean? Be immovable. It means not to be hard-headed. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean to be hard-hearted. The story of Saul before he became Paul, he was immovable. I mean, he was stubborn. What do you mean those followers of the way saying that my Jewish religion is false and that now I must believe in Christ? Who do they think they are? Let's arrest them. Let's stone them to death. Let's throw them in prison. Saying that my religion is not good enough. And on the way to persecute the church, on the road to Damascus, the Lord shone around him and he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you so stubborn? Why are you so hard-hearted and hard-headed? Why do you kick against me, Saul?" From that time forward, Saul became Paul, and Saul placed his faith in Jesus Christ instead of ceremony and ritual in the Jewish religion. It was faith from then on, saved by grace through faith. See, it does not mean to be bullheaded and hard-hearted. It means to be stubborn for Christ Jesus, immovable. Our faith is stubborn because it's in Jesus Christ. You see, we cannot allow anything to move us from our relationship and our determination to serve the Lord. Nothing should move us. Immovable. As faithful Christians, we are to be immovable for Jesus Christ. Number five, always abound in the work of the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always. Everyone say always. Okay, that's enough. I'm going to continue to read, but don't repeat it. Abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, His work is grace. His work is mercy. His work is love. And we are to always abound in this work. Always excelling in the Lord's work. That means to go after the best for the Lord. I'd rather err in doing too much than not enough, wouldn't you? Always excelling, and know that this is not in vain. When it's done in the name of Jesus, it says in the Lord. There's only one Lord. It's working in the Lord, and it's not in vain. That's a very important word, not in vain. In this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, I love to preach the beginning of it during Easter because it's the gospel message. 1 Corinthians 15 is explaining the resurrection of Jesus and that over 500 people, after the resurrection, after they saw Him down on the cross, He walked among them and talked with them, and over 500 of them saw Him ascend up into heaven. And Paul says that if Christ did not resurrect from the dead, then we are all hopeless and our faith is in vain. Useless. Useless. But in light of His resurrection and His ascension, and in light that He's going to come back and these bodies is going to drop and rise and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And oh death, where's your sting? Oh grave, where's your victory? See, there's victory in Jesus Christ, it says in verse 57. And in light of this great victory that we have in Jesus Christ, and this victory is over the last enemy, which is death, we have victory in Christ. But know this, Paul says, all the work, all the valleys, all the things that you do, all the praying and all the self-denials that you do, all of it is worthy. And all of it does not go unnoticed by heaven. Man may not notice it, but God does. God sees it. It's not in vain. Solomon used this word vain. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, except Jesus, of course. He's not a Jesus, by the way. Solomon had it all. And he strove for all the worldly, material, worldly stuff and all the worldly pleasures that the world can ever offer. He had it. Everything, riches, everything, had it all, and all the toys to go with it. This aged man, towards the end of his life, says, I've reached the top, but it does not matter. It's all in vain. Useless. Doesn't matter. But I've come here to tell you this morning, all the work that you do in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not in vain. It does. It is noticed in heaven. When it's the Lord's work and it's done to glorify Jesus Christ, it's not in vain. And it's a great work no matter what you do. Nehemiah in the Old Testament, trying to build that secure wall around Jerusalem, his enemies and all of his critics says, Nehemiah, it's useless. Who do you think you are? Won't you come down here and let's talk about it a while? Nehemiah, stop doing the work. Nehemiah, the enemy's right upon you. Nehemiah, the foxes can push this wall down. Nehemiah this and Nehemiah that. Nehemiah said, leave me alone. I am doing a great work. And any work you do in Jesus Christ is a great work. Keep it up. It's not in vain. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 57. And there's been times that I've been beside people who are dying in their deathbed and ate up with cancer or whatever else or just fixing to die because of numerous reasons. I've been there. And yet, when that last breath is taken, it seems like it was a victory for them. And it was. Because they were in Christ. You see, when it's over here does not mean it's over. It just begun. And in light of this, it says, my brethren, therefore, in light of all of this, my brethren, my brother, my sister, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding, always going to the best in the work of the Lord, knowing, and this is experiential knowledge. It's more than just knowing about Jesus, but it's experiential in that you have a faith relationship with Him. Knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt, knowing Jesus Christ, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep it up. He may come back this afternoon. He may be next week. It may be in my children's lifetime. But let you and I be devoted. Because He could come back today. He's coming back. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your precious Word. And we thank you the encouragement and the comfort that we have from your word. Lord, it's your goodness and it's your grace that leads us to repentance. You're such a great God. You're such a good God, a loving God, long-suffering toward us. It's your will that none should perish. But yet, there's scoffers. There's some saying, well, where is he? Lord, may we be faithful. May we be steadfast and immovable. Stubborn for you, Jesus. For your glory. Amen.